off, I'd like to mention, we're learning Masechah Shabbos this year. Hilchah Shabbos is very hard, very complicated. As difficult as Hilchah Shabbos is, Hilchah Yom Tov is even harder. The dinim on Yom Tov, you know, what's osur, what's mutter. If you don't do anything on Yom Tov, it's fine, you don't throw. But if you want to know what's mutter on Yom Tov, it's much more difficult than figuring out what's the story on Shabbos. And Chalamoid is even harder than Hilchah Yom Tov. So two people from Lakewood just put out a sefer now with the dinim of Chalamoid in English. Very well organized with Mar Mekremis, the Ober Rishonim and Achronim and the Tish Morik, and you can become a part of the Hilchah Chalamoid. By using this, it doesn't just have the Piskei Din and the Kitzur, it explains everything with the footnotes, with all the Karanaris and all the Stechemis and all the Chazanishas. Take a look, it's very good. This is available in hardcover and softcover. It sells in the softcover for $6 and the hardcover for $8, in case you're interested. It's a very important thing because people on the Zalazal a lot in the Hilchah Chalamoid, and the Hilchah Yom Tov also. This year, especially if we're trying to be misakin, trying to learn Masechah Shabbos, we should especially be mizarid. It's an important thing to give as a gift also. We should give it to bar mitzvah boys and the wedding gift and some, because people you don't even know. People never even heard of Chalamoid is also the Malacha. There's some things you're not allowed to do on Chalamoid. The question is, you're certainly not allowed to do, the question is what you are allowed to do on Chalamoid. So it's very important for, in case you're interested, Mr. Fleischman, who comes to the shir all the time, has copies available, those who want soft cover or hard cover. And I would be mizarid everybody, if you already know Hilchah Chalamoid, you don't need it. But the stuff that you don't know. For those who don't know, it looks like a very useful safe. It's available in the store also, I imagine. If you want to get it from Mr. Fleischman there, right?
Yeah, break with it.
The end of Parshas Vayelech. Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu a special mitzvah. Kisvu lechem hashira hazos. The Lamb is B'nai Yisrael Kino B'fihim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he should tell B'nai Yisrael the Shira of Ha'azinim. But he tells him that this is different from the rest of the prayer. He tells him first, Kisvu Lachem Asar Shira Azos, and then the Lamb is B'nai Yisrael Kino B'fihim. First you should write it down, and then you should teach it over to B'nai Yisrael. The Gemara says in Menachos that the whole Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu from the beginning to the end. The whole Torah was written in the following fashion. Kadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Nevuah, he told him Bereishis, he told him Shmos, he told him Vayikra, he told him all Parashis, all of these. Moshe Omer Bekosei, Moshe Rabbeinu said it over, and then he wrote it down. Except for the last 8 Pesukim in the Torah, where it says Vayam Hashem Moshe, so it says over there, he wasn't Omer Bekosei, he was just Kosei B'demo. He was writing it and he was crying at the time that he wrote it. What does it mean, Moshe Omer Bekosei, that Moshe was first saying it and then was writing it down? So Tosfos comments on that Gemara, the little Tosfos in the office that says that from this Gemara is a ktsas smach to the minhag ha-sofrim that when they write a Sefer Torah, they pronounce the words before they write. Let's say the sofer is about to begin writing a Sefer Torah, so he has another Sefer Torah where he copies from, and it says there Bereishis Bara Elokim, so he says Bereishis Bara Elokim, and then he writes it. And it's a whole diyun in achreinim, what happens if a person, let's say you have a siyum Sefer Torah in shul. Somebody had a story to write a Sefer Torah, and then they leave out the last pasuk or so, and they have people donate money and get the right to get the schus to participate in Sefer Associates, to write a noise. So the Sefer, if you have a good Sefer, will always stand by and tell you that you should pronounce the words before you write anything into the Sefer Torah, because of that Tosfos in Menachos. The whole Diyun in Achronim, what happens if the Sefer didn't pronounce the words before he writes the Sefer Torah, whether it passes the Sefer Torah? Ad kedei kach. Tosfos doesn't seem to hold that it passes the Yevon, because Tosfos, other poskim say it may pass the Yevon. But Tosfos holds clearly that it's only a minig asofrim. A minig wouldn't pass the Yevon. Wouldn't pass the Sefer Torah because of a minig to pronounce the word before you say it, before you write it. And Tosfos says that it's only a ksas, a smach for the minig. It's only a bit of a smach, a bit of a support for this minig that the sofrim have to pronounce the word before they write it into the Sefer Torah. The fact that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was omer v'kosev. Why does they say that it's a ksas smach? Why isn't it a very good smach? Why is it only a smach? It's a mocker. It's a mocker zone. It's a perfect mocker. It says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu omer, a Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated the whole Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu from the beginning to the end. Moshe omer v'kosev. Moshe pronounced the word. Moshe said it over and then he wrote it. So apparently the Parsha Pshat in the Gemara means something else. And that's why Taisa says that it's only a Ktasmach for this Minigah Sofrim. But that's not the Emes of Pshat in the Gemara. What is the Emes of Pshat? So Rav Chaim said, it was the name of Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim said that the Parsha Pshat in the Gemara, the Emes of Pshat, according to this Taisa, is that first Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's say he gave him Parshas Dvarim and Parshas Vaschanan and Parshas Kiseitze and Kisava, all the dinim. Moshe Omer, Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the message to Bnei Yisrael. He told him, Adav Hashem Moshe Leimah Leisrael, told it over to Bnei Yisrael, told him over all the mitzvah. And after he told it over to Bnei Yisrael and he delivered the Nevuah, that's when it's called the Nevuah. Nevuah means bury lips for a soul. You can pronounce something with your lips, like when I start to move up, not to move on. The nitzvah sign means the peres that come out of the mouth, means the feet. And kenuvat asada means peres that grow from the ground. So nevuah means something that the navi peres that come out from the navi's mouth. So it was only considered a nevuah when it was delivered. After Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, then it was chal Hashem nevuah. And then when he wrote it down in the Torah, that's Moshe Oimer because of Moshe Rabbeinu first delivered the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. And then he wrote it down in the Torah, after already was chalad in the Buwan. Chaim explained that there's a shayla mishon regarding the difference between the V and Muksuv. The Gemara clearly says that there are three different units to Tanakh. The Torah has three parts, so you have Torah, you have V and Muksuv. So the Torah we know is different. Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is Moshe Avgi. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is different from everything else. What's the difference in level between the V and Muksuv, if there is any difference whatsoever? Is Nevi'im on a higher level like Ksuvim, or are they both on the same level? Ksuvim is, nobody holds Ksuvim is on a higher level than Nevi'im. Then Shaila is Nevi'im on a higher level than Ksuvim, or are they both on the same level? So in Rosh Hashanah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, yeah, this is a machlekes between Taisus and Iraq. Seems to be a machlekes between Taisus and Iraq. The Balei HaTaisus hold that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are on the same level. There's no difference at all between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. I have come in Malti Zechonah Shofis when we say over the 10th Ksukim, so we first say Torah, then we say Ksuv, and then we say Nevi'im, then we say Torah. Why do we say Ksuv before Nevi'im? The Torah says that we read the Ksuvim from Ksuvim are those Ksuvim that were written before the Ksuvim from Nevi'im. We read them in the order in which they were written.
What?
You should say Ksuvim is greater than Nevi'im? That's the Shaila that the Torah raises. Ksuvim is certainly not greater than Nevi'im. The Shaila says Nevi'im on a higher level of Chashivus than Ksuvim are now. So that's a machlekes between Tarsus and Iran. So Tarsus holds that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are at the same level of Kedusha. You're permitted to put, you're not allowed to put, let's say, a Novi on top of a Chumash, or a Ksuvim on top of a Chumash, but you are permitted to put a Nevi'im on top of Ksuvim, a Ksuvim on top of Nevi'im, it's the same thing. That's what the Ritvo quotes there in Rosh Hashanah, in the name of the Balei HaTaisus. We don't have it in the Furish in Taisus, but that's what he quotes in the name of Balei HaTaisus. And the Rishonim of Bava Basra quoted on Daf Yudala there. But the Gemara says which swarm you're permitted to put on top of which, and it doesn't say anything about Nevi'im or Ksuvim, so it seems that they're equal in level of importance and in level of Kedusha, the same level of Kedusha. So the Shaila is the why. So Tesla just explains why do we say in the Pesukim and Malchus Zechariah and Shofis there's a specific order. That's the Nusach HaTfilah that we have. That's what all the Rishonim have. You have first three Pesukim from Torah, then three from Ksuvim, then three from Nevi'im, then at the end you have one from Chumash. Other Nusachos have that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Chazorat HaShatz. A lot of Machzorim you have like that. So you won't pay it, then most Shul don't say it. And the Shul that they do say it, they're not saying the order of the Pesukim regularly. You say one from Chumash, one from Ksuvim, back from Chumash, then from Ksuvim, then from Nevi'im, it's back and forth. Somebody made a pious and they rearranged all the Pesukim. You can't have it all the Rishonim. You can't have it all the Rishonim that we follow. It's a different Rishon. You want to remember the pious, but it's a different Rishon. But it's not the way we don't follow that minute. Our minute is like basis of the Rishon. So you say three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im, and then you close with one from Torah. So why this order of Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im? Usually you have Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh. It's not called Tachat. Why don't you have Torah, why do you have Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im? The Pesach says you put them in the historical order in which they were written. First the three Pesukim from Chumash were written, then the three Pesukim from Ksuvim were written, because all the Pesukim from Ksuvim come from Tehillim. And the Rambam, I think, is mashma. The Rambam writes that the Pesukim from Ksuvim have to be from Tehillim. I think that's what Sam is asking. He doesn't understand why the Rambam, how does the Rambam not have to be from Ksuvim? From Tehillim, they can be from anywhere in Ksuvim. The Gemara says you have to have from Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. So who says that the Ksuvim has to be Dafke Tehillim? That's what the Rambam says. How does he know Dafke Tehillim? Maybe anywhere. But Lamaisa, that's what the Minig is like that. The Gemara quotes all the Ksuvim that the Gemara has, and the Seder from the Gonim, and the Seder from the Rishonim, the way we daven, we always know the Ksuvim from Ksuvim come from Tehillim. So Tehillim was composed before before Nevi'im. Before the Pesukim from Nevi'im that we quote. Right, but before the Pesukim from Nevi'im that we quote. So that's what Taisa says, that we put the Pesukim in the historical order in which they were written. First we have the three from Chumash, then from Ksuv, and from David HaMelech, and from Shlomo HaMelech, and then we have from Nevi'im, which were later. And then the tenth, do we have Mezim at any? We don't have many anywhere else in the Ksuv. The only Ksuv we have is from Nevi'im, from Tehillim. The Rambam writes that it has to be Dafka from Tehillim. So Sassamus says he doesn't know how the Rambam knows it has to be Dafka from Tehillim. He would think that it's anywhere from Ksuv. But Lemaisa, that's what we do, we quote Ksuv from Tehillim. That's what Taisa says. And the tenth pasuk is from Chumash. That's a separate cheshbon. Tenth pasuk is a different cheshbon. That's for the shleimus of the bracha. That's not really for the nine pesukim of Malchus Zechon Hashem. As you finish, when you finish nine, the tenth pasuk is a different halacha. That's why it doesn't have to be in order. So Taisa's opinion is that's how the kedusha rebloch was. And the Emor Taisa, he elaborates a little bit more. The Levim Ksuv are on the same level of kedusha, and you can put the Levim on top of Ksuv, Maksuv on top of the Levim, and the reason why we usually have them in this order in the Pesukim and Malchus Zechon Hashem is because we quote the Pesukim in the order in which they were written, which they were composed. The Ran disagrees with Taisus and holds that the Levim is on a higher level of Kedusha than Ksuvim. The Pasuk Shat in the Ran. The Levim is on a higher level of Kedusha than Ksuvim, and why do we have. And that's why we always speak of Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. It goes down b'hadrog. Torah is the highest level of Kedusha. Torah, Mamash, Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu. The highest level of Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im. So his Nevi'im was on the highest level. Nevi'im is not on the same high level of Nevi'im as Nevi'im is Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's self-consulted it as Nevi'im. The Ksuvim was only written the Ruach HaKodesh, which means a lower level of Nevi'im. When you say the Ma'asher had Ruach HaKodesh, you say Rashi had Ruach HaKodesh. Doesn't mean Rashi was a Novi. He wasn't a Novi. Malachi HaNavi said that he was the last Novi until Aliyah HaNavi came. That's why Malachi ends with the pasuk Zichu Toras Moshe Abdi. You should observe the Torah and Mitzvahs. Then it says until Ad Boyom Hashem Agor Vanor V'Heishiv La'Gor Vosal Fonim. You should observe the Mitzvahs. I'm the last Novi until Aliyah HaNavi is going to come, the day before Mashiach comes. There's not going to be any other Novi in between. So Rashi wasn't a Novi, and the Mashal also wasn't a Novi. If they had anything, they had Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is a much lower level of divine inspiration than Nevi'im. So the Ran says that therefore the Ksuvim which were written only by Ruach HaKodesh, Pesachim is a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh than Rashi had. Otherwise we should canonize all the Rashi's and all the Mashal. Pesachim is a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh. So the Ran says that the three different levels, that the Torah is the highest level of Nevi'im, that's Nevi'im and Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Nevi'im is a lower level than Chumash, but it's still self-consulted Nevi'im. And Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh, which is a lower level. That's why, according to the Ran, Alpi Pashtos, Nevi'im has a higher Kedusha than Ksuvim. One would not be allowed to put a Ksuvim on top of a Nevi'im. The Ran would probably disagree with Taisa. It doesn't say the Farish, but he probably would disagree with Taisa. Right. So it means that sometimes they had Ruach HaKodesh, and sometimes they had only Nevi'im. Sometimes they had a higher level, sometimes they had Nevi'im, and sometimes they only had a lower level of Ruach HaKodesh. And you have the same perek that's found in Tehillim, is found in Shmuel Aleph, I think, Shiraz David. Same Shiraz David is found twice with slight Shinuim. So according to this, you have to assume that David HaMelech had the divine inspiration twice to say the Shira. And once when he said it in Nevi'im, he said it with one Nusach. The other time that he said it with Ruach HaKodesh, he said it with a different Nusach, with a slightly different Nusach. And it was the inspiration that he had was on a different level of Ruach HaKodesh. Once was on a level of Nevi'im, once was on a level of a lower level of only Ruach HaKodesh. Otherwise, why is it repeated with Shinuim? The question is, according to Taisus, that Nevi'im and Ksuvim is the same level of Kedusha, and you can put Nevi'im on top of Ksuvim, Ksuvim on top of Nevi'im. The Ran holds that Nevi'im is a higher level of Kedusha than Ksuvim, and that's why, getting back to the Malchus Zechon Hashem, that's why we arrange the Ksuvim the way we do. He says, you always start off with Torah. He says you always start with Torah. That's the big Haskalah, the best Haskalah. And then when you want to continue, so he says, the Ran says you continue by saying Ksuvim, Nevi'im, and Torah, you go up in Madregas, like Malam Makodesh. According to Taisus, your system ends after the three from Chumash, the three from Ksuvim, the three from Nevi'im finish. And then the 10th Pasuk doesn't count. 10th Pasuk is not part of the system. Because basically the 10th Pasuk, I think we spoke about it last week, no? The 10th Pasuk and Malchus Zechon Hashem don't serve the same function. The first nine pesukim serve one purpose, and then the tenth pasuk serves a completely different purpose. In Malchus Zechon Hashem, if you've noticed, the beginning of the Malchus and the Zechon Hashem, each bracha begins with a statement of emunah, that we believe in the idea of Malchus, we believe in the idea of Zechon Hashem, and today's Yom Adin, according to all the judges, people, and all the nations, and so on. And then the Shoshus also begins, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate with people and that he can reveal himself. It's possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal himself. And not only possible, we believe that he did it and that he will do it. So from the beginning of each one of these three brachas, we begin with a statement of Emunah. Atenik Leisabat Ankei Decho, and Aleinu L'Shabech, Atenik Kavlecho, and so on. Each one begins with a statement of Emunah. And then to show what our Emunah is based on, so we quote the Pesukim from Tanakh. So the Gemara says, Niger Adin, all you have to say, Stam have Emunah, I believe that it's so. How do you know you have Emunah? You heard that it's so. If it says in Tanakh, then you know that it's true. So Niger Adin, the Gemara says, if you say the Yisod in Emunah, then you say, V'chein Kosa, B'tor, V'chein Kosa, B'Levim, V'chein Kosa, B'Tsuvim, so the Gemara says, that you have, you would be Yotze. Let that person, a person can't daven the faith with everybody else in the shul. He's going to go start saying all those 30 psukim in the middle. He's going to miss everything. He'll miss the Nasana Tekit, he'll miss Kedusha, he'll miss the Tekis, he'll miss the whole davening. He won't get any of it. So then the Gemara says, if you have a Shasa Pchak, or if a guy doesn't know the whole davening by heart, let's say it's difficult for a person to read Hebrew. A person can barely read Hebrew. He's davening in English and he can't say so much, he can't daven so much. He can barely daven the essentials of the Shema Nasana. So then the Gemara says, when you're stuck with Shasa Pchak, so you just say, the middle section you can delete, and you just say that this idea of Malchus is found in the Torah, is found in the Bim, is found in the Tzuk, but the Yevet, that's good enough. Better than that, the Gemara says, it is to say one Pasuk from Torah, one Pasuk from the Bim, one Pasuk from Tzuk, not just to say, and it says so in the Torah, it says so in the Bim, it says so in Tzuk. Better than that is to say three from Torah, three from the Bim, three from Tzuk. But that's the best you can get. So you really only need nine Tzukim to prove the point that you say in the beginning of each one of the three brachas, it would have been sufficient with nine. And then each bracha, each one of the malchus of Chanukah Shofar concludes with a tefillah, with a bakasha al hasi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make this thing come true that he promised was going to happen. The idea of malchus is that all the human soil will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom. We ask him to do that. Then we ask in Zechronis, we ask him to judge us well, he should remember us, L'tayv on the Yom HaDin. And in Shofar, we ask him, he should bring Mashiach to Kenu, and he should reveal himself again to us. So each one of the Malchus of Shofar has these three parts to it. So the middle part is just a raya, but what we said in the first part was true. So Mikra HaDin, it's enough if you just say, V'chein Kosu B'Soros Moshe Abdecha, V'chein Kosu V'Yad Neviyecha, V'chein Kosu B'Divrei Kodshecha. And that's good enough. And then if you have more time, so you say one Kosu from each. You have more time, you say three Kosu from each, adding up to some total of nine. The tenth pasuk, the Gemara says, is really a completely different cheshbon. It's Rabbi Yosi. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah quotes Rabbi Yosi, and the Gemara says that we follow Rabbi Yosi's opinion. Rabbi Yosi says that it's meshubach to end off with the tenth pasuk for the shleimus of the bracha. What's up? Is ten connected? What the nine? We know what it's connected. Torah be mitzvah, and you bring a raya to you. You say it in Emunah that it's true. And in case one pasuk is not good enough, so you bring three rayas from the Torah, three rayas from the Nevi'im, three rayas from the Ksuvah. That's irrefutable. How can you slug up all nine rayas? That's it. But what do you need a tenth raya for? So the Gemara says, no, a tenth pasuk is a completely different Indian, unrelated. That's to make the bracha a fancier bracha. In what sense? The Gemara says that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Ba'asar Mamoros Nivra Olam. So you want to have ten psukim connected Asar Mamoros. So the Gemara has other remazim, other kavonas. Why do I misak in ten? Mishleimus Olinyan, to make the bracha a more perfect bracha. But it's not really for the purpose of proving the point that you had before. The point is proven already by quoting the ninth psukim. The tenth pasuk is a separate inyan. That's why the Achrayim point out we have a discrepancy between the bracha in Malchus, the tenth pasuk in Malchus, and the tenth pasuk in Zechronis and Shofar's. That the tenth pasuk in Malchus we have right after the ninth psukim in Malchus. Hashenik in the tenth pasuk in Zechronis and Shofar's we have in the concluding bracha. So the pasuk may ask, why don't just like you have the tenth bracha, that tenth pasuk doesn't really belong together with the ninth sukkim. The ninth sukkim is just for the purpose of proving that what we said in the beginning of the bracha is true. But that you said in the Emunah is based on what it says in the Tanakh. The tenth pasuk is just is a separate inyan. The Gemara says the shleimus habracha, to make the bracha correspond to ten, which is connected something. When Anshin Tesak Dola, when Misakin, when the Tanoim, whenever the Misakin and Nusach habracha, that is based on something in Tanakh. And a parallel of after something. So the Gemara says, why they picked on 10, the Shleimus HaBracha? But since the 10th pasuk really has nothing to do with proving the Yisod in Emunah, it really doesn't belong in the middle. So that's why we hold that it belongs at the end. So we include the 10th pasuk in the Chesimus HaBracha. And Zechronis and Shofar's, the 10th pasuk is in the end, the Lekeinu Kevin Seinu. Lecha Kolom, Malchus is the one that it's not. By Zechronis and Shofar's, it's in the last one. Malchus, the pasuk we say, is a problem. Malchus, they say, is the problem, because the reason why we don't have the 10th pasuk in Achsimus HaBracha is because the bracha really is the bracha on the kedushas hayayin. Like we, there's a machlokes hatanayim, where you're supposed to include malchus. You really should have 10 brachas on Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. You should really be shachris. Gemara says it used to be shachris originally. The Gemara says zizmak dimel mitzvahs. So the Gemara says that originally they used to blow shofar and shach bright and early in the morning. Daven shach 10 o'clock. They got up at the crack of dawn. They started davening. Supposed to wake up early on Rosh Hashanah. Saying the slichas on every Rosh Hashanah. Oira shachar v'loi hashachar yireni. I'm going to wake up. Alois Hashachar, I'm going to wake up before 5:15 a.m. I'm not going to wake up after Alois Hashachar. That's what you promised to do. Next day, Rosh Hashanah, you better delete that if you don't plan to wake up at 5:15 in the morning. Very early, huh? Very early. That's why Nekatos done right after Slichas. So the minig, it says in Shulchan, the minig is, like it says in the Slichas, it's supposed to wake up very, very early. You start davening early, then you blow Shofar. It's Vizman Devonis. You might say, start blowing Shofar nice and early in the morning. When? You're supposed to blow Shofar in Shul. I'll say the Rabrocha, see, blow by Malchus, the Chaynus, and Shofar. So then the Mishnah, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, originally they used to have Malchus, the Chaynus, Shofar is in Shachris. And they blew Shofar in Shachris. And Musaf was a regular Musaf. So Baal Shachris had to dig Avodah to say all the 30 Pesukim with the whole Amichah Gemara. And the Musaf was a regular Musaf, like any Shabbos and Yad, which was a Mechat Toyin of the Lilim Yad, Atav Chatan of Kolam, Atitan Lanu, was Yom HaZikron Azeh. And you say, Mechat Toyin, then you say the Korban, and the Fakti. Yeah, yes, to bring back the Zamidish, to bring Korbanos, to finish, to throw Hamid Dush Hayim, that's all Musaf was very short. The Shachas was long. Then the Gemara says that there was some kind of Xeris Hashmad, and the Goyim gave them a hard time for some kind of a reason or another, it's unclear, it says, of course, the Yushalmi, Rashi has a different Shach. That's some kind of trouble, and they had to shift it. So that was at a time that they still had people who could change the Nusach HaBrocha. So they changed, not Tam Apai, Tain, Apai, they changed the whole Nusach HaBrocha. So the Shachas, they changed into 7 Brochas. So the Shachas became a regular Yantav Digger Davening, like any Yantav Atav HaTonim, Atitam Lanu, Yalav Yavoy, Lo HaKolam Kulu HaKadecha, simple Shachas. And the Musaf, they change into the big Arichas. The Tosis and the Rishonim ask that now that we live in a free country, nobody bothers us, and we don't have any Xeris Hashmat, so why don't we go back to what the Din ought to really be? We should revert back to the original Takana and have the 9 Brachas in Shachas and Yantav Musaf. So the Rishonim say, for that you have to have somebody big. That's not a person who can make a Payet. Make some slichas. You don't have to be Panache, you have to make some slichas of people. We show you Nachrayim also make. But to change the whole Nusach HaBracha, to revert back, to make a whole, to change the Musaf should now be 7 brachas. Shabbat should be 9, so the Rishonim say we don't have the authority to do that. You have to have somebody big, like Panache, or something like that, on that caliber, and nobody, you know, Balra HaKodesh, to switch everything back to change. But not from changing a Takara, we're going to say this prayer over there instead of over there, that's not so we're the change that Shachar should be 9 brachas and Musaf should be 7, so that we can't do Bizman of this. So that's what Tosis and Rishonim say, that we leave it the way it is, even though it's a little bit improper. It would have been more proper to have the Tekiah Shofar in conjunction with the Malchus Zechayin Shofar in Shachar. So really on Rosh Hashanah, getting back in, really on Rosh Hashanah, I'll explain. So really on Rosh Hashanah, you have to say, every Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, like every Yom Tov and Shabbos, should have 7 brachas. The 3 Gimel Rishonis and Gimel Achronis. And the bracha, the Kedushas Hayom in the middle. That's Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, everything should be like that. Except that you have to have an additional 3 brachas when you're blowing Shofar. So the Zman, years ago, originally, we used to have those Malchus Zechayin Shofar were recited in Shachris. That was the original Tachronis HaTanoim. And then later on, when there was a Shas HaShmad, the Mishnah records that they switched it. The Tanaim, in the days of the Tanaim, they switched it, and they changed the Shachris into a regular Shachris, and then they made the Musaf the way we have it today, with the Malchus Zechayin Shofar. So really, if you're adding on 3 brachas to 7, 7 and 3 should be 10. You should have the Gimel Rishonis, the Gimel Achronis, and the Brachim, so it should be on Kedushas Hayom, and then you should have another 3 for Malchus Zechayin Shofar, which are floating around. It used to be in Shachris, then they moved it to Musaf, but whenever it was, whether it was in Shachris or Musaf, should be an additional 3. So should really have 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks this in brachas of Koftes. How come you only say 9 brachas on Rosh Hashanah? You should really say 10. That's what the Mefarshim explained. Gemara asked, 9 brachas on Rosh Hashanah can egged me. Why do you say 9 brachas? It makes more sense to say 10 brachas. Gemara says no. That's
the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah.
The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. Now Mishnah Rosh Hashanah comes to solve the problem, but the Gemara brachas is. Gemara brachas is. No. I'll explain in a minute. No. Gemara brachas is. Why do you have 9 brachas? Why don't you say 10 brachas? You should say Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, Malchus Zechayin Shofar, and the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, the 10 different brachas. So the Gemara says no, because the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, and Rosh Hashanah Nifkidu Sarah, Rachel, and Chanah, and Chanah's Tefillah is found in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, and she said Hashem's name 9 times. So that's why we say 9 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. It's connected to Tefillah Chanah. That's what we say in the Piyut that we say in Rosh Hashanah. Everybody says that Piyut. That's the universal Piyut of the Torah. It's in the beginning of Nisan, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Secondly, Rosh Hashanah, you don't say anything in the beginning. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, you say at the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. Why do you say 9 brachas? Why don't you say 10? It says because it's connected to Tefillah Chanah that she said Shem Hashem 9 times. If you look through the Pesukim, it says 9 times. So the Chachamim held that when they are mistaken and Nusach HaTefillah, they have to pattern it after somebody's Tefillah in Tanakh. After Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah, all the Tefillahs are Mesukin after Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah. After something, some kind of a render, it's not Stam and Asmachta Gematria, it has to be some real mocker from a Novi, that's the proper way to daven. So you see that Chanah, we learn out all the Dine Tefillah from Chanah. That a Shikah is not allowed to daven, and that you have to daven Belachash and so on. So obviously she knew how to daven. And the Haraida, she knew how to daven, and she was in Makor and she had a baby. After so many years, that Tefillahs were answered. So show that she hit the spot. She knew how to have a spot. And Rosh Hashanah Nifkidah Chanah, her prayers were answered on Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah, when we daven Musaf and we want our prayers to be answered, we should also daven 9 brachas. So now the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah poses a problem. How are you going to make 9 brachas out of 10? But you have 10 brachas, you have to say, how do you make 9 out of 10? So the Mishnah quotes 2 days in Tanayim, the Tesefta. The Gemara quotes the Tesefta, he quotes the 3rd day. So the Gemara says, obviously, the only way out is to combine 2 brachas together. You really should have had 10 distinct separate brachas, but the only way to make it into 9 is to combine 2 out of the 10 together. So the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanai. So we pass, like Rabbi Akiva, that you combine malchias with the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. That the 4th bracha, which is normally always Kedushas Hayom, on every Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur and Musaf Rosh Chodesh and Musaf Chol HaMoed, you always say Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis, and the 4th bracha is the bracha of the Kedushas Hayom. So today on Rosh Hashanah also, yesterday on Rosh Hashanah also, 4th bracha was Kedushas Hayom. And then you put the malchis together with the Kedushas Hayom. And then Rabbi Yechon Benuri says, you have the Kedushas Hayom separate. You don't combine malchis with that. You rather combine malchis with HaMelech HaKodesh, because he's speaking anyway about HaMelech HaKodesh by malchis. So you include all the malchis there before HaMelech HaKodesh. And the 4th bracha is only Kedushas Hayom, nothing blended in. And then the 5th and the 6th are Meruchah, from you have malchis in the 3rd bracha of Shemoneh Esrei together with HaMelech HaKodesh. And then you have a pause in the 4th bracha, you don't have any of the special brachas for Rosh Hashanah. It's like a regular Kedusha and bracha. Like in every Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. And the 5th and the 6th brachas will be Zechonis and Shoches. And then the Gemara quotes that the Sefta, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, has a 3rd sheet there. If you say the Malchiyah, you say the Kedusha Sayyam in the middle bracha, in Zechonis. And the Lashon that the Gemara quotes from the Sefta is that just like all year long, whenever you have Shabbos and Yom Kippur or Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, the bracha of the Kedusha Sayyam is always the Emtza. It's always in the middle. So to one Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says the bracha should be in the middle. So right smack center in the middle is going to be the bracha of Zechariah. That's what it means in the middle. So the question exactly how do you understand why it has to be in the middle. Maybe it has an additional kavanah, but that's the 3rd sheet in the Tanakh. The 3rd sheet is how do you take the 10 brachas and make them into 9 brachas. So Lamaisa, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. That's how the Gemara says. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself, who has this awkward sheet that's not too popular at all, that hardly anybody ever follows. So the Tesefta says that he himself didn't follow. He himself knew that nobody followed it. That when the Baal Tefillah was davening for Anaman and he did like Rabbi Yechon Benuri, he said that's not the way they did it in Yavne. You got to do like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says the next year they did like Rabbi Akiva. So he said that's the way they did it in Yavne. You got to daven the same way they did it in Yavne. Like Rabbi Akiva, even though he himself held the other sheikhs, you have to say Dushas Hayyam in the middle of the middle of the Chaynes. But he knew that the common practice is not like this. So the Pasuk of the Achronim say, why do we make a compromise? Why do we have by Malchias we have the 10th Pasuk right after the first 9 Pasukim? By Zechronis and Shoivis, we have the 10th Pasuk not after the 9, we have it in the middle of the conclusion, middle of the Bakosha at the end of the Brachas. So they explain because the way we follow Halacha L'maisa like Rabbi Akiva, that the 4th Bracha basically is a Bracha of Kedushas Hayayim. Kedushas Hayayim Bracha is supposed to be always the 4th. And then we blend in the theme of Malchias into the 4th Bracha, into the Bracha of Kedushas Hayayim. So the idea of Malchias into Kedushas Hayom is sort of a guest in someone else's house. It's not the balabas. That's what Achronim use a lot. That the 1st bracha is Ovis, the 2nd bracha is Gvuris, and the 3rd bracha is Kedushas Hashem. And the 4th bracha basically is, you can say that they blend in, so that some Achronim say it doesn't blend in. The 4th bracha basically is Kedushas Hayom, the 5th bracha is Zechronis, and the 6th bracha is Shofas. But we blend, we insert the theme of Malchias into Kedushas Hayom. But since it's only visiting there, it's not the Balabas, so you shouldn't he shouldn't, the theme of Malpia shouldn't balabatra too much. He shouldn't take up too much room there. So that's why in Zechariah is the ninth sukkim and the tenth pasuk are really unrelated. That's according to Tesis, it's certainly so. The ninth sukkim had to prove the point of the Yisrael and the Muna that we started with, and the tenth pasuk is L'shleimus HaBrocha to add up to the number 10. So we insert the tenth pasuk in the Chsima. And the end, when we ask for the Bakasha, L'asid Lava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make it come true that his Malchiyah should be accepted. And Zechariah, he should give us a good Mardin, and Shreifus, he should bring Mashiach and be Megala himself. He should have again a Gilishkin. We include the tenth pasuk, which is L'shleimus HaBrocha, has nothing to do with the ninth sukkim. By Zechariah's service, we include the tenth bracha, tenth pasuk, and the end of the bracha. Because the whole idea of the tenth pasuk is the shleimus habracha, there should be a fancier bracha. Hashem came by Malchias, that's a little too much, because as it is, the Malchias is barging in on the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, so to speak, and it's taking up a lot of room there with all these nine pasukim. So in order not to intrude too much, so that friend gives a motion, that's why we rattle off the tenth pasuk of Malchias right away after the ninth pasukim. And then we don't introduce the tenth pasuk into the chsima, into the bracha, because the bracha is really a bracha on the kedusha side. That's the lashon that Achrayim has. So according to Taisvis, your tenth pasukim are broken up into two units, really. You have the first unit is the nine, and that goes in order of the way they were written. You say first from Torah, then from Tehillim, then from the Nevi'im. You say them in the way they were written. And the tenth pasuk is a separate pasuk. That's l'shleimus HaBrocha. That's what's brought up anymore. The tenth pasuk is connected me. It would have been enough with three pasukim. Would have been enough to say the chayin kasev b'saras meshavdech, the chayin kasev ayanu yach, the chayin kasev divrei kodesh shecha. And the hatchila we say a pasuk by each one, the hatchila we say three pasukim by each one. And if they say nine pasukim, that's all. What more do you need? But the tenth pasuk has nothing to do with the nine pasukim. That's just the shleimus or inyan of the bracha to make a fancier bracha. So that's what they say. That's not part of the chesed. That's what Taisa sheet. The Ran disagrees. I don't know. So I don't know exactly how the Ran understands everything. The Ran says that we arrange the pasukim in the following order, the 10 sukkim are this. The first three sukkim are chumash. You always start off with chumash, start off with a bang. And then the next, the remaining 7 sukkim you arrange going up in an ascending order. So first you start from ksuvim, which is the lowest level of kedusha. Then you go to a higher level of ksuvim, then you to nevi'im, and then you go to the highest level, which is Torah. So according to the Ran, the order is bedafke. The order is the last 7 sukkim are in order. According to Taisa, it's not so. The order is only on the first 9 pasukim, and the 10th pasuk is not in any order. 10th pasuk of Chumash is just the Shleimus HaBrocha. The Shleimus Inyan of the Brocha. But according to the Ran, the order that you have the pasukim in, there is an order. All the Rishonim hold is an order, except for the one who wrote the Piyut for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It has completely no order whatsoever. Just those pasukim at random. Rearranges all the pasukim. It's unbelievable how the Balabatim let the Rabbanim write such Piyut. Today, if a rabbi remarks such a fight, if a Balabatim in a reform shul would tell the rabbi, what means? Printed in the master literally. I can say a different part. Anyway, that's how it's printed in a lot of Mazar. A lot of shuls, they say like that. They rearrange all the psukim, not like Tariq, not like the Ran, not like anybody, not like all the Goyim, not like the old minig always was to say in a specific word. And according to the Ran, the order is not the first 9 psukim go in order, the last 7 psukim go in order. And the order is ascending in importance. You start from the lowest level of the Tanakh, that's the Ksuvim, then the higher than that is Nevi'im, and the higher than that is Chumash. So the Shaila is like this. According to the Ran, we understand why there are three parts to the Tanakh, the three different levels of Kedusha. Torah is the highest level, that Nevuah is Moshe Rabbeinu Olam HaShalom is the highest level of Nevuah, Aspeklori HaMi'iri Gemara is it. Then the Shah Nevi'im had Aspeklori Shein Nevi'im. Then Ksuvim is written for Ruach HaKodesh, it wasn't written in Nevuah. The lower level of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah is, and the Mele, in consequence, it's the lower level of Kedusha. They have three parts to the Tanakh. But the Shaila is, according to Taisvis, that there's absolutely no difference in level of Kedusha between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So why is it that there are two different sections? Why don't you just have Torah? And Shah Kisi HaKodesh. Why do you have a Tanakh? Why do you have the Gemara? It's split into three different parts of the Tanakh. There must be some kind of a difference. And it's not a historical difference that they were written at different times. No, Taisa says that Tehillim was written before Nevi'im. But not all of Ksuvim was written before Nevi'im. Some was written before, some was written after. So the Ksuvim doesn't distinguish itself by being written in a different Kufa. Faket, it was written part of it before, part of it during, part of it after the Kufa of the Nevi'im. So why is it a different section in the Tanakh? That's what Chaim wanted to know. Yeah. Same time as the Nevi'im. Some of it was said minhag, some of it was composed late. It was composed at different times.
But was it later than others?
I don't know. That's a different problem. You have to look. The Gemara talks about exactly the Quran, and the first one talks about exactly when the different parts were written. But leaving out Tilim, there were certain parts of Ksubim that were clearly written later, that were composed later, and certain parts were written before the Nevi'im. So the difference between Nevi'im and Ksubim doesn't lie in the historical date as to when it was composed. It doesn't correspond to anything. So what's the chilek in Nevi'im and Ksubim? So I try and explain that I'll be pashtus, this is the chilek. The Nevi'im was nitan lehayomer. When the Nevi'im was given to the Navi, it was nitan lehayomer. He was told, this is a Nevi'im that you should deliver to Bnei Yisrael. And that's why it's called Nevi'im. Nevi'im means Nivsa Soyim, Priha Peh. That they should pronounce these words, they should deliver the message to Bnei Yisrael. Ksuvim was Nitan Lehikosev Melahatchile. When the Baal Roh HaKodesh, who's there in Ksuvim? Tehillim, Mishle, Yiv, Shir, Shemir, all those from there. It wasn't Nitan Lehayom, it wasn't told to the Baal Roh HaKodesh that they should deliver this message to Bnei Yisrael. There's not necessarily any message. Originally, the intention was when the Baal Roh HaKodesh got this, the Roh HaKodesh, these Ksuvim, these themes, it was Nitan Lehikosev to be written down initially. And now we read it.
No, it's Esther. It's not the kid of Miguel's Esther was sitting right to each bow. Each bow is given to the whole name of the demon. It says it's Miguel's Esther.
That's not this Miguel's Esther. In the scrolls that they wrote at that time.
No, it's not in the scrolls. It's in the bag written down there.
Yeah.
It was given to each, government, each country.
Not the Megillah Esther. That's the other thing. Other scrolls were written. No, I don't think so. Not the Chaim said that that seems to be the basic difference between the Nevi'im Ksuvim, and the Nevi'im was Nitan Lechatchila Lehikos Leheyomer first. And then after the Nevu'ah was delivered, then it was Nitan Lehikosev. Once it became a Nevu'ah, then it was written down, but there was a Nevu'ah that was delivered already. Before it was delivered, it's not called the Nevu'ah. Hashem came Ksuvim. Was not nitan at all lehayomer. It was lechatchila. It was nitan lehikosev. That's why it's called suvim. Suvim means it was nitan lehikosev lechatchila.
The one said before suvim tehillim came before nevi'im. Maybe that means for what the Rambam says. Maybe he holds this as historical thing. And therefore, since tehillim came before nevi'im, that's why it has to be tehillim.
But how does he know that? Yeah, but how does he know that?
I
mean, he holds like Tosfos, that that's why we have it in that order.
Right.
I mean, from the fact that we have it in that order, that's how you know that it's supposed to be Dafka from Tilim.
It doesn't have to be in that order, it has to be from Tilim, it has to be something
before the Tilim. I don't know. The Rishonim figure out from the Gemara that that's, they say it's Mashma from the Gemara, that's supposed to be the order. It doesn't say black and white anymore, it says it appears from the Gemara that that should be the order. First Torah, three from Torah, then Pesuch, and then Nevi'im, then Torah. Could be. So similar to Rav Chaim's distinction between Ksuvim and Nevi'im, that one was Nitan Lehayomer, one was Nitan Lehikosev, Mila Hatchila, Rav Chaim commented over here that seems to be the difference over here. The Gemara says, Kol HaTorah Kulo was Moshe Omer V'Kosev. The Tosfos says it's only a Ksas Mach to the Minigah Sofrim that they pronounce the words before they write it. Why is it only a Ksas Mach? As Rav Chaim said, the Pashup Shani Gemara means that Moshe Omer V'Kosev, Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down, because that's the whole idea of all Nevuah, including the words Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem, a higher level of Nevuah, but it's also Nevuah. It doesn't get ashamed of Nevuah until it's delivered. Nevuah means something that Priha Peh, Nivs Vasoim, something that the Navi tells over to Bnei Yisrael. When they deliver the message, then it's called Nevuah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on the whole Torah, until the very end, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he should first deliver the Nevuah by Dabar Shalom Moshe Lamar. First Lamar Yisrael, first to deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then later on to write it down Biksav. And Philip came over here for the Shira, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to reverse the order. This is Kisvu Lachem Asa Shira, then V'lamed is Bnei Yisrael Sinu Rufim. Here it's different. First they should write it down, and then they should deliver the message, they should deliver the Shira, teach it to Bnei Yisrael. Shira Sazinu is different. Why is it different? So the Ramban has a chumash, but somehow she has a tradition. The Shira Sazinu is very, very different. That it's a nevuah, and everything that will happen to the Jewish people in the future, and anyone who wants to know anything that will happen to the Klal Yisrael, or the Chalal, or to the, any individual person befrat, if you know how to read the nevuah straight, you'll be able to figure out what's in store in the future. Daven can. You have to know how to read the nevuah. Ramban had a Talmud who became a not religious, Avner. And then later on he wanted to know, the Talmud told the Rebbe that he, Talmud told the Ramban that he became an apikoros, the whole story that he became a Korav Lamalchus, and he insisted that the Ramban should appear in front of him on Yom Kippur, and the Ramban came to visit him, and then he killed a pig and he cooked it in milk and he ate it on Yom Kippur, and he started to argue with the Ramban how many Yisurim he was over. So Shalav Yisuchal Alisim. It was B'cholav, and it was Yom Kippur, and it was Sheichet, and it was Nesham, and Mevashel, and Mavir, and he did all the Yisurim. And it's a Shalav Yisuchal Alisim, which are Chal, which are not Chal. But the Bas B'cholav is Chal Achal, and he started to argue with the Ramban about it, and the Tilpul about Yisuchal Alisim. But it said, the story goes, in the middle of the argument, so the Ramban said, look here, I'm the Rebbe, Rebbe Acheretz me. Say that he got scared, and then the Ramban said he should do tshuva. So he asked them, why doesn't he observe the mitzvahs anymore? Why does he eat pork on Yom Kippur, Bas B'chol, what is he having sugar for? So he said that he remembers when he learned by the Ramban and the Yeshiva that the Ramban said that in everything he found in Hazino, he thought that was utterly ridiculous. How can you find everything in Hazino? It's impossible. How can you have one Shira, the Chumash, that includes everything in the future? The Ramban says, why? What do you want to find? Tell me what you want to find, I'll show you how to find. So he said he wants to find where is he marooned. So Ramban told him which pasuk is marooned. And then he asked the Ramban, so he was in the spot. He found a remnant for his name Avner, and the Shiva Sazim. Amati Afei, Mashbisa Mianish Simanatos. So then the Talmud asked the Ramban, and what's going to be with me? So he said, you're going to do tshuva, and there'll be merumas in the pasuk. He said, he gave all my whole story. And then the story goes, he did do tshuva, and the Nebuah, and Hazino was Mekuyim that the Ramban said was like that. This is what the Ramban writes on Chumash, why Hazino is different from everything else, that everything else in the Torah. Yeah, but Pshuta Shal Mikra, Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, has a din. Kiseitze, Kisovoi, and a dinim in the Torah. Hazino is a Psashira that tells what's going to happen in the future. All kinds of future Nevuah is a different thing. So that's why he didn't have Moshe Rabbeinu first delivering the Nevuah and then writing it down. If he would deliver the Nevuah, then write it down. All it would mean would be, the Pshuta Shal Mikra would only be what he delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. It's written down first. It was Nitam Lahikase. What does it mean? In every generation you can understand it differently. It's a Shira. It was a Shira that's Nitam Lahidoresh on different levels. And the Ramban can find a remez there for all kinds of things in the future. That's the Pshat, the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, that it says, Kis Lachem as Hashira Zaz Ulam, this Bnei Yisrael, the simple Pshat is referring to the Shira Sazino. By Dabi Moshe, the earthly called Kali Sos Divir Hashira Zos Ad Tumah, that's the concluding Pasuk in Vayelach, and then you start with Hazino. Then you have the Shiva. The Gemara has as another level of interpretation on this pasuk. The Gemara says, "Kisa lachemus hashira azaz." Refers to Ksiva Sefer Torah. There is a mitzvah for every person, a mitzvah called Yochad Yochad Yisrael, to write a Sefer Torah for himself. And the Shiva refers to the Torah, which has the Shiva written in it. Doesn't mean you go to the mitzvah just by writing Shiva Hazinu. The pasuk shan the pasuk Kisa lachemus hashira is not a mitzvah at all. It's a hirah shor to Moshe Rabbeinu that you should write down Shiva Hazinu. He's writing a Sefer Torah now. He's writing for a long time already. That's what he tells him. We're holding by the end already. We're holding by Nila. Write Hazinina, and then you write the Zos HaBoch, and then we'll finish. Make Chazak. Make a Siyum. And he made the Siyum on, I guess, Zayin Aleph. No, that's when he finished. That's when he finished the Zos HaBoch, and that was the end. Then it says that he died. So that's the Pashup Shat. Kisul HaMas HaShem does not a mitzvah of the Torah. It's a Haru HaShor from Moshe Rabbeinu. He should write down the next Seder, then write down the next Seder, and that's it. That's the end of the whole Torah. And the Gemara takes it at another level of interpretation. The Gemara understands Kisra Lachem is a din l'doris on everybody. Not only are you short to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he should write Shira Sazinu, at another level of interpretation it means everybody should write the Sefer Torah which has the Shira included in it. And the Gemara says this is al kol ha'echad b'yisrael, there's a mitzvah to write one Sefer Torah. And the Melech says v'hoik yishivta al kisem al-chusa, when a Melech is appointed it says v'kos avos mishnah ha'teraz, mishnah means a second copy, he has to write two Sefer Torah. No stuff on the one Sefer Torah that every Jew has to write, the Melech has to have another Sefer Torah, that he has to take with him all the time. He has to carry the Sefer Torah with him all the time. And everybody else is not a Melech, who's only Mechiv to write one Sefer Torah. The Rishonim discuss how we make the mitzvah of Zman Hazeh. Siva Sefer Torah. The Rosh says that the Zman Hazeh you have to have sperm also. The Machlek is Rashi and the Rambam. What if you didn't write the Sefer Torah? What if you bought already a Sefer Torah that was already written by somebody else? Are you Yotze the Mitzvah? That's the Machlek. It's Meshul Chanoch. We assume the Rambam quotes that he was Yotze. The Gemara has a Rosh in Menachos that Kohen Sefer Torah Kechaitet Mitzvah Min Hashuk. If you buy a Sefer Torah, it's like grabbing a mitzvah. It's not the proper way to do it. So the Machlek, the Beis Halevi points out, and it's Shuvah says Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam what that means. Well, it means that you're not Yotze, it means that you are Yotze. So the Rambam quotes in Shulchan Aruch, we assume that it means that you are Yotze, But it's not the mitzvah min ha-mufko. The more proper way is that either you should write the Sefer Torah yourself, or you should commission a sefer to write the Sefer Torah. If it's too expensive, let's say, for one person to commission a sefer to write a Sefer Torah, so the common practice is that you get a few people together to do it b'shutfis. And many parts must say that since it says kisva lachem, loshen rabim, so lachem teaches you that shutfis is good. And now the whole sugi in the end of chulam like that. Whenever it says loshen rabim lachem, it means that shutfis is acceptable. And even it also says kisva lachem.
Did not do the holidays unless you spend money.
Pardon me?
There's no way to do it with all the days unless you spend them
yeah. But the Rosh says, so we pass the law that you have to. Don't learn from Sefer Torah, just lengthy as a Torah. But we learn from printed Svarim. The Bizman is there. The only way to be Mekayem HaMitzvah is by purchasing Svarim. Either writing Svarim, copying over, a printing Svarim, or purchasing Svarim. In Achrayim, there's a big machlokes is what the Rosh meant. Whether the Rosh meant to say that the Mitzvah deraisa is to get a Sefer Torah with additional Svarim, but the Mitzvah deraisa should not be neglected. You're not yet in the Mitzvah if you only buy printed Svarim, if you only write Svarim. You have to get a Sefer Torah. In addition to this, you have to get Svarim also. Or perhaps the Rosh meant to say that this man is dead, the Sefer Torah is Lamala Lamorid, because nobody at all learned from the Sefer Torah. We all learned from Pinchas Svarim with Perushim. So you're not yet to the mitzvah at all. If you buy a Sefer Torah, you're not buying a Sefer Torah. Lamala Lamorid. The only mitzvah today, the only way to be Mekayem HaMitzvah is only by getting Svarim. So many are maker like that, and they buy a library. Buy books in English and Chalamoy. Buy a book on Hilchot Yom Tov. Buy art school, Spanish, whatever, you buy Hebrew and English, whatever, you buy all kinds of Svarim to learn from, Svarim that are useful, Svarim. Not some Svarim to keep on the bookshelf that you collect up. It says, the Lamed is the name, so there should be Svarim that you should use. It's a special mitzvah that everybody should have a library. So most people are Makel and they assume that you go to the mitzvah by buying Svarim that you can use from. Others who are Mahajrim buy a Sefer Torah, and others who are Mahajrim and a Mahajrim engage a Sefer to write the Sefer Torah for them, because after all it is a Machloik, it's Rashi and the Rambam, whether you go to the mitzvah if you buy the Sefer Torah. Some Rishon hold that you're not yet. That's the machloek, is what it means, kisva lachem. Whether kisva means to bring one into existence, or kisva means to have one. Kisva means to have one. If, let's say, our relative died who had a Sefer Torah and I got one birusha, then in Morris is definitely I'm not yet to the mitzvah of kisva. That's the chol ha'day is not. But he holds that the mitzvah is to bring another Sefer Torah into existence, so he's certainly not yet because he didn't bring another one into existence. Or even if he holds that the mitzvah is just to get one, but the mitzvah is that you should do something to acquire it. You should do something to get it. But if I just sit back and the other guy gets a heart attack and he dies and I yashin and says that, I'll shoot the guy. Okay. I'll shoot him. I'll kill the Morish and then I'll get the same therapy. You should. Maybe I'll be able to. But if the guy just dies by himself, a natural death, then for sure the Gemara says you're not yetzer, because the mitzvah is to do something to kumbi yasei. Either to write it yourself or to engage a sefer to write it or to buy it. But Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam is what's the getter of the mitzvah. Whether the mitzvah is to bring another Sefer Torah into existence, like Pirei Veridian, bring another child into existence, bring another Sefer Torah into the world. Another mitzvah is that you should acquire a Sefer Torah. Some Achrayim say that it was Chapan Afkimina. Let's say I've written a Sefer Torah, I've engaged a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, then I give it away to a shul. But my son is a Mure, I'm no strings attached. Am I yet to the mitzvah? They say no. That once a Sefer Torah was given away to a shul, so I'm no longer yet to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that I should bring, not to bring another Sefer Torah into existence and then let it go on its own, like you bring a child into the world and you let the child live its own life. No, the mitzvah over here is that you should acquire a Sefer Torah. So if I give it away to somebody else, I'm not yet to the mitzvah.
So you always have to give Sefer Torah. Even if you have it for 10 years, as soon as you get rid of it.
So some parts can say, if you give it away, then you're not yet to the mitzvah. My machloek is in Pisket Shuvah, Shalom. That depends, so the yeshivas, they say that depends on this machloek is Rashi and the Rambam. How do you understand the mitzvah of machloek is in the Dinderaisa? How do you understand this mitzvah of kisva lochem? Kisva lochem is to bring another Sefer Torah into existence. So they say you're not mechuyev to have a daf in your house. But if the getter of mitzvah is kisva lochem, to acquire a Sefer Torah, then if you give it away, so you no longer
say that the mitzvah is always keeping it, it makes sense to say it's separate flow. Just have a separate flow around. If you don't give it to Shuli, I'm going to use it at all then.
According to the Rosh, see, according to the Rosh that we mentioned, that here it says the Tama mitzvah mafurish in the posuk kisvul lachem v'lamdes bnei sosin or b'fiyin. You should write and say the Torah for the purpose of having form that you should use. So that's why some and in Machlokes I find what the Rosh meant to say. What he means at this man is that one is not yotzei by having the Sefer Torah alone. In addition to the Sefer Torah, you must have also the form that you imrei bina and chazanish whatever. Gemara, Mishnayot, Tanakh, the Torah, and so on. Or the Rosh meant to say, no, that this man is there, the whole mitzvah you yotzei only by having printed form, and you're not yotzei at all. So the Torah is l'mara v'mor. So if you say that way, as many assume, that the having the Torah is l'mara v'mor at all, the whole mitzvah is only, you're only yotzei in the mitzvah by having form that you can learn from, then certainly if I write a Torah and I give it away, I'm certainly not yotzei, because you don't have the v'lamdas in any surah. And even if you say the first version of the Rosh also, the Rosh seems to be learning pshat and the pasuk like that. Kisvul lachem v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael. You should write a Sefer Torah for the purpose of having it at home to be able to learn from it. But if you give it away to the shul, no strings attached, and you can never get it back. Okay. That's the last mitzvah in the Torah. Kisvul lachem es hashir hazeh v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael, the last mitzvah of the Tariag mitzvah. But you'll become wealthy people. It's not going to be mahara to get a, you get to write it yourself, very hard. It's going to be mahara to get a study for it, to write a safe study for it. Without a shutfus. Nice mix. We left off in the Gemara, Ayin Dala on the base. Continuing going through the various malachas. So the Gemara goes on the Mishnah. Gozis is Hasemer v'hamalavna. If you shear off the wool from the animal's back, that's malach of Gozis, cutting off hair or fingernail, cut off a wart. The Mishnah has an erev in the end of the erev, and a kohen has a wart, let's say, on his face, and he wants to cut it off. There's a shaila how to do it on Shabbos. Because sometimes the kohen will be a balmum, if you consider the balmum. Told him that he has the wart, he wants to remove it in order not to be a balmum, but on Shabbos is an issue of gozes. If I rip off a finger, that's not gozes. Only if you rip off hair, you rip off something that's only to be cut off. That's what some of the sheet in Kuvetta says in Sunnah, that if you do a bris mila on Shabbos, the Gemara says later on Kuvot Manalat, that if you do a mila on Shabbos, there's some kind of a melacha derais involved. That's why it's only mutter to do a mila d'zmana. Mila shwa d'zmana is forbidden on Shabbos and on Yom. So what's the melacha? What's the Issa Malacha that you do when you make a bris mila? So they're very Shittas and Hashem. So the Shittas and Kuvetas and the first Beis and Sukkos have one day that it's Gozeis. So the Dvar Avraham has a famous piece, what Kovnerov has in the Sefer Dvar Avraham. Why is it Gozeis? If a guy cuts off his head, the guy cuts off his arm, he cuts off a leg. It's not Gozeis. Gozeis if you cut off something that's total to the body, like hair, or like warts, or like fingernails, or toenails, or something like that. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's right, it makes a distinction between making a bris mila on a Jewish baby and on a Goyish baby. He says, on a Jewish baby, when there's a mitzvah to cut off the yorla, so the yorla is like a wart. It's only to be cut off. And Hashem came and says, if you do a mila on a Jewish boy, that's taka malach of gozit. If the kid has something, that's only to be cut off. If you do a bris mila on a goy, that's not gozit. Maybe it'll be a different malach, but it wouldn't be gozit. It's like cutting off a leg, or cutting off an arm. Why should that be gozit? It goes on. If you cut off something that's tawful to the body, that's only to be cut off. Only to be cut off.
Yeah.
That's a shaila. Tesis later on has a shaila is cutting off fingernails or cutting off hair. Is that a malacha shein tzricha l'guf or not? According to the way we assume, a malacha shein tzricha l'guf is only the rabbanon. What about cutting off hair? The Tesis says later on it goes as. If I cut off the hair because I want to look good, I look like a woman, I have so much hair. So I want to take a haircut in order to look like a man. But I'm not going to use the hair for anything. If you cut off the hair and you put away the locks, you know, like the first haircut, put away the locks for posterity, that's a malachat tzvichel gufi. You cut off the hair and you're going to use the hair. Or let's say somebody needs fingernails or something, I don't know. They cut off fingernails and he uses it for something. Let's say a woman cuts off long hair. Years ago, they used to cut off hair and make a shape line. So a woman cuts off hair, she's going to use the hair that she cuts off. That's a malachat tzvichel gufi. Like it goes is you cut off the wool from an animal and you're going to use the wool to make a malgush out of it, to make cloth and material out of it. But if they cut off the hair and they throw it in the garbage, you cut off the nails and you throw it out in the garbage, you're not going to use the nails, you're not going to use the hair. The place it says later on that that's the malach hashem tzvichel agufa. Why is the malach hashem tzvichel agufa? because the guf shalom rocha only is the nails or the hair or the oil that's cut off, and if you're not going to use it for anything, you're just going to throw it out. That's ain't speaking of guf. And the Mishnah Brura quotes many Rishonim and Achrayim who disagree. They hold that even if you hold ain't speaking of guf on, it's only the Rabbanon. They hold that this is called speaking of guf. The fact that the person wants to look better, that's called speaking of guf. It's big shayla exactly. How do you understand speaking of guf?
In the same malacha, sometimes it can be tzrichel gufa if you need, but you cut it off. Usually, you can see that it's only if you need what's coming off.
Yeah, the taste is, you should know, the taste on tzadik hay and beis. The taste is on daf tzadik hay and tzadik dalet and beis, excuse me. Daf tzadik dalet and beis, taste is dira maskul avol de kli, tibi akol chayit. And if you cut off nails with a nail cutter or with a scissors, so then the Gemara says that kedarka, that goes as kedarka. If a person bites his nails off with his teeth, a shayla, whether that's kelahayat or kedarka. But if he cuts it with a kli, then everybody agrees that it's a malachic kedarka. Taisa points out that normally it's a malachic and tzricha levim. In this case, the way we pass from halacha would only be the Rabbana. And the Mishnah Brura quotes the Rivosh and the Ramban and many other Rishonim disagree and say that it's a tzricha levufa because the person wants to look better. Shaila, how do they understand tzricha levufa? I mean, the Pashtus is like Taisa. Yes, but you have to understand what are the other Mishnayim hold. We'll have to discuss.
Well, what does it matter if one should dispose of what they do with the Bota Akli?
No, that's the Gemara raised the question. If the person rips off one nail from. He cuts off his nails by ripping them off with his fingers, then he bites them off. Is that Kalahayat or is that Kedarka? Somebody else bites off my nail. Is that Kalahayat? Or is that Kedarka? That's the Shaila that the Mishnah discusses in the Gemara. The Taisa's comment on the whole discussion in the Gemara, the Gemara is only worried about the problem of Kedarka versus Kalahayad. What about the problem of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa? Taisa says the whole sugi is assuming, like the opinion of Rabbi, that Ein Tzricha L'Gufa is deraisa. If you hold that Ein Tzricha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanon, then none of this would be deraisa. And the other Rishonim, the Mishnah Brura, has a long Bir Halacha, Shinnem, I think, and he quotes the Rivosh and the Ramban. And all the other Rishonim disagree, and they hold that it is deraisa. This is a big issue in Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Omai, this is a famous topic. This is a famous topic in Shulchan Aruch. If a woman has to go to mikveh on Shabbos or Yom, so we have a minig which is based on Gemara. I put the minig based on shittas that could be a real din deraisa. A din deraisa wouldn't be, could be a din derabbanan. We have a minig that a woman cuts off her fingernails before she goes to the mikveh all the time. A woman cuts off her fingernails before going to the mikveh. A whole chesed, the shachat, the face is on the finish of Gemara. A chulin, all lamdus chesed. Why the nails that she's interested in cutting off might be a chatzitza, even though it's mamish part of the nail. Might be a chatzitza right now. Let's say if a person needs a haircut. That guy needs a haircut on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He wants to go to the mikveh and wants to get a haircut. So the dinner is supposed to take the haircut first and then go to the mikveh. Because if he first goes to the mikveh, then the hair that's still attached that he plans to cut off could be considered a chatzitza, same as the fingernails. Anything that could be easily cut off is considered a chatzitza on the rest of the body.
Shaving too,
unless you bedavka have to go to mikveh now, and you bedavka want to shave right before yontif because you want to shave to last as long as possible. So then you bedavka don't want to shave now. But if you'd really like to take the haircut now, you don't care whether you take the haircut now or later. It's just that the barber is further away or something. A different consideration, not because you bedavka the sheet, you want to have the haircut later.
But you want the sheet to have the haircut.
What reason could the guy have that he wants to doctor the haircut?
He wants his hair to be
the father away.
If you take the haircut and go to the mikveh, it gets on the stuff.
Okay, I mean the barber's going to make a fancy. Okay. But he has a kapeda not to take it. Okay. Then for sure is no shalom. But he doesn't really care which one, which way, then it would be a shalom al hazik. It's a different thing. If a woman is not interested in cutting off, then it's only a chumra, then it's only a meaning. But if the woman is interested in cutting off the nails normally when they get too long, except that she just didn't get around to it yet, that's already a chumra, that's already a meaning. But it's based on a real din. Right. Whatever you don't plan to cut off at all, so mikra din, that's not a chatzitza. That's only a minig to cut off. But the minig is based on a real din, that if a woman has nails that she would normally be interested in cutting off, if most women would be interested in cutting off, even if this woman is not interested in cutting off, that would also be a chatzitza to mikra din. You know, she's not interested.
What's
the deal? Buffalo diet?
So,
Well, you can take an echo before davening, that's
right. You can't be here.
You can take an echo whenever you want any day now. Okay, awesome.
And everyone last night.
Yeah, there's no Rick Will on it. There's no Rick Will on it. It's more than any of that.
It's a good shaila, I don't know. No, there must be some answer to that. I don't know offhand. It's different. The Gemara says it's different. It's not a din of chatzis. It's different. Finland is based on, all the din of chatzis by Finland are based on the Gemara and Svar from the beginning of the second paragraph about chatzis by Big Dekuna. It's a different din. The din of chatzis by Big Dekuna are not identical with the din of chatzis by Mikva, by Finland and Mikva. Not the same. Gemara says it's very bad here. Even though it's time to be cut off, it's not a hatzitz unless it's a shalodim kind of. Yeah, let that guy have payas. Put his payas in the back of the front. Payas hanging down here, he has it still on that. That's a hatzitz. That's what you want. It's there, a shalodim kind of. A guy has long hair on the back, he doesn't pay it in the back. Pulls the long hair in the back to the front. That would be a hatzitz. A guy has long hair on the front, goes down here, and then it goes back up. Slips down, and he pulls it back up, and he has it still on top of the hair. And shalodim kind of, that's not where it actually grew. Then based on that gemara, that would be a hatzitz. But the dinim of chatzitza for a tefillin are not identical. It's not the same. It's not the same as the dinim of chatzitza for me. So the minig is, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig based on a din. The minig is that the women cut their fingernails very short before they go to the mikvah. So the shach and the taz have a shayla in Yeruday. What if a woman has to go to mikvah on Shabbos at Yontem and she forgot to cut her nails? So to allow her to cut her nails herself, that's a malacha of gozeis. Either malacha de lais or malacha de rabban. It's vichal agufa. According to the rabban. According to the rabban and the rabban. But I'll call upon him to Nisa. What about to ask a goy? What about to ask a goy to cut her fingernail? She'll go to a goyish woman. Tell a goyish woman she should stretch out her fingers and tell her to cut her fingernail. So that's amir l'nachri. And gozeis. If you hold like taisvitz. If you hold like taisvitz, it's malacha shem. It's vichal agufa. So some parts can hold that this is called a shuiz l'shuiz l'machan mitzvah. If you are mirror and offering to do a malachish and speak of a gufa, and a malachim tilas mitzvah, this will be mutual. The Mishnah Brewer doesn't like it for two reasons. One reason he doesn't like it is because he says he should be machmah for the shita surivosh, for haramban. That goes as it's called tzvichal agufa, even if she's not going to use the fingernails that are cut off. If you want for yipo yagufa, that's also called tzvichal agufa. We'll have to figure out why, what the definition of tzvichal agufa is, but that's what the ramban and the rivosh hold. The whole group of rishonim, the dear Allah, of course, the Mishnah Brewer. And then there's another argument that the Taz raises, that when do you say a completely unrelated topic, that when do you say that Amirul and Afri is only Mr. Dirabana, and that's if I tell a guy to turn on the light, that's only Dirabana. I tell a guy to drive the car, I tell a guy to drive me to the hospital, I'm a Chayil Shemus Hakon, drive me to the doctor. So Amirul and Afri is Mr. Chayil Shemus Hakon, I can tell him to do a Malach Adarai, cook some coffee for the Chayil. That's Amirul and Afri, but if I stretch out, I open up my mouth and I tell a guy to pull out my tooth. Or if I give my hand, stretch my fingers out, and I tell the guy to cut off my fingernail, right, so the Taz, quote the Gemara Makir, but since you're Misayaya, you don't call that Amir Nanochi, which lowers it to a lower level, into a Dirabana. True, it's a Malach Hashem, even assuming like Taisus, the Taz didn't even know that there was a revulsion of Amman who held that it's only Dirabana, that it's their Isa. Even assuming that a Malach Hashem Tzvich Legufra, that goes is, and you're not going to use the fingernails, it's only Dirabana. But the ask going to do it does not lower it to the level of a trade rabbana, shuz the shuz from Achim Mitzvah. Because Amir and Nachi, the gufoi, for the person has seen Messiah, the Taz claims is an Issa derais. At that time called Amir and Nachi shuz. There's a Shach and the Kuris Atesef and Yerudeya disagrees with the Taz and he says that it's not correct and the Taz is right and cutting off the page is not correct. So all this Mishah is a major machlokes. Maybe we'll discuss it later. I'll have to get to the appropriate page. The Taz has this finish based on the Gemara Makis, the Amir and Nochri, when it's the Gufa, and Amisayeya is an Issa Derais. And the Shach and the Kudus HaKesef disagrees with the Taz. Machlokes the Shach and the Taz. So this Kula that earlier person had, when we get the Tzadik to lean out, we'll have to learn Tzadik Dalam and Alam. Taisis Dibra Maskal Shach, Chaim Osei Asatmo. So Chaim has a comment on that thing. Taisis sounds like a whole like the Taz. Even more than the Taz. I forget the Tzadik Dalet about this thing. So this is a Cheshbon Aloha. Earlier Achrenim say that a woman who has to go to Mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Kippur forgot to cut her nails is permitted to ask a Goyer or a Goy to cut off the nails for her because that's considered a Shruz the Shruz B'makam Mitzvah. Maybe the Nachri is one Shruz to do a Malacha Shem Tzvich HaLegufa to do Gozeis and she's not going to use the Tzipa Nai. That's a Shruz the Shruz B'makam Mitzvah because she's going to have Tzilas Mitzvah. Tzilas Mitzvah. And the later Paskin debated on two points. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it because he's choshish for the Shitas HaRamban, the Harivash, that Gozis is called a Tzricha Legufa, some Malacha Derais, even if you're not going to use the Tzipanai. The Taz doesn't like it for a different reason, but the Rabbah is not called Amirul Nafri, that lowers it to what the Rabbana. Amirul Nafri, to do a Maitre the Gufi, and I'm a Sayyaya, the whole Maitre is closed and won't be able to cut the nail, they have to stretch out my fingers. So the Taz claims, based on the Gemara Makis, that their Amirul Nafri is their right. And the Gudis Akhet by the Shach disagrees. And if you look carefully, the Shach, he explains himself, Machleg is the Rambam and the Raisin. This Machleg is the Shach and the Taz, Machleg is the Rambam and the Raisin, by Tayyis. And you know, maybe we'll get...
Where's
the Doesn't go to the Mikvah? Or you have to see whether the Chatzitza that she has, the real Chatzitza in Mikvah, it's not just Mitaminik. Maybe Mitaminik, maybe you will make a good table without cutting off the finger. See how they're the Chatzitza.
If
she cut nails, then the big one, the minig, yeah, the minig is like that. The minig is that all the women cut their nails.
The
divorce is a... Is that all the minig? Straighten the husband, straightens her out. So the kids that we have a Malacha Gozis. It exists, that I know that Malacha Gozis still exists. Even if you don't live on a farm, you have a Malacha Gozis. There is a Malacha Gozis. What is Hamalabing? After shearing off the wool from the animal's back, then you wash out the wool, that it should be clean, it should be lovin', it should be white wool. At least it's white as snow. You wash it out. You don't wash it out in dirt. You wash it out, then you violate the Malacha Malabing, making it into lovin'. That's the lovin'. That's malacha of washing out any clothing. I have clothing and I wash it out. That's malacha malabi. The Gemara says, not in Gemara and Shabbat, the Gemara says in Zvachim, of all places. It's in Zvachim, that's Tarek Dalek. The Gemara says, the sugya malabin is in Zvachim. It's not found over here. The Gemara says in Zvachim, what's the name of Zvachim? Tarek Dan Chata, which is in Parashat Tzav. If you have a beged, a kohen is doing a beged in Beis HaMikdash, let's say. Somebody's walking around with a beggar, and then the coin spritzes some of the dam onto somebody's beggar. So the pasuk says in Parashat Tzav, he's supposed to wash it out the mokka kash, you have to wash it out in the azar. The Gemara has a whole discussion in the Zvachim, Terek Dam Chatur, Dam Chatur, Shalitah Zala Beggar, how do you wash it out? The Gemara says, use, Ajax, bad, whatever. The Gemara tells you how, which detergent you use, you have to wash it in the azar and so on, and how you do kibbutz on cloth, how you do kibbutz on leather. What if it's a leather jacket? What if it's not a cloth jacket? Because if I'm don't wear leather jacket, I think they couldn't have to be cloth. What if it's someone else, not a kohen, is wearing a leather cloak? How do you wash that? I said, the whole sugi there. So the Gemara, in discussing kibus on the begera shenita zol of dam achatos, the Gemara has a little bit, not too much, a little bit of a discussion of kibus and hilcha Shabbos. When do you violate the malacha malabe? So the Gemara has a din of malabe that people don't know. It's a din of shacharach. That shriyos is zehu kibusa. Tais is quoted from Shabbos. People know it from Tais, but they don't remember from the Gemara. The Gemara says zehu. The Gemara says zehu shriyos is zehu kibusa. People don't know. Let's say you had in the previous generations, when your parents were babies, they used to use diapers. They used to use cloth diapers. None of them what people use pants. But years ago, they used to use cloth diapers. The cloth diapers, if the diaper is dirty, and you leave it with the dirt for a long time, so it's very hard to get it out, even with the best washing machine, and the best fabric softener, and the best detergent and everything. So what people do is, even with everything, so what people do is, you have a pail full of water, and when you have a dirty diaper, you soak the dirty diaper in the water a day or two before, or a few hours before you're interested in washing the diapers. Now Shabbos, everybody knows you're not allowed to wash the clothes on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it in the washing machine and start the whole thing going. But people didn't realize that the same halacha deraisa to soak the dirty diaper in water. That's the gemara. Shemiyos is el kibuso. If you soak the dirty, let's say a person gets a stain, a woman gets a stain on a dress, and she wants to wash out the dress. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to wash out the dress. That's malabe. It's the halacha deraisa. Instead of washing it out, some people think they won't do the halacha washing out. They fill a bathtub full of water and just dip the dress in the bathtub and let it soak. Then after Shabbos, they wash it out. So the gemara says that's exactly the halacha malabe. Shaviyoso, to have it soaked, the dirty beggar with the spot in it should soak in water for the purpose of loosening the spot, that it shouldn't be so ingrained. Del kibusoin. That's the malacha deraisa, chai chatzis.
That's just soaking. That's just soaking. That's the
right. It's also called the Sharia. To pour water on, even not to soak in the bottom of it.
Where do we know that I saw him doing this? They put salt on it and they soaked up the stain. Did it work? I've seen it work, but he showed me that he did. He's
the Shabbos. After learning more Gemara, the Mishnah Berurah has a whole studio later that discusses what about kibbutz without b'liyam tzolos hamayim, without using water. Is there any Easter in cleaning clothing without using water? Let's say I have an absolutely filthy hat. I have a felt hat that was rolling in the dust, and it's absolutely, you can't wear it at all the way it is. Would that be a malacha of mechabes, a malabin if I would clean it? I'm not using any water. The Mishnah Berurah claims that yeah, he says all the Rishonim hold that yes. Not the Sefer Gemara, but the Mishnah Berurah discusses it. Do you violate the malacha malabin without using water? But the malabin means washing with a liquid or just cleansing any garment, any beggar, even if you don't use any liquid. Tafer shalom
anas lafer. Right. Could you be able to
write five categories? Probably not. Mishnah Berurah claims that all the Rishonim hold that it's a malacha deraisa to wash clothing even without
using
water.
Clean brush.
No, that's not to wash dishes, to wash glasses. That's what they're telling you. The whole malab and only applies on clothing.
Yeah.
Also, same as with drinking glasses. Same thing, whatever is not a beggar, there's no reason malab enough. Let's say if I have a fourth tablecloth. A fourth tablecloth is also a beggar. It's also a beggar, even though it's not a beggar that you wear, but it's the material of beggar. I have a place of plastic tablecloth, then you have a shiloh. Maybe there's no malabin on that. Then we have to see some gemaras to find out. You won't see it here in Shabbos. That's a simple result. Exactly how do you have malabin on the gladin where the water doesn't get absorbed into the floor, into the gum? Gathering comments are supposed to discuss mitzad ma'amir.
If you're in the water, you can't.
Then the Ramah says that that's moot. Mr. Guru has kind of gets
many
it's not grain, but the dirt is stuck in grain in the thing. You can't get it off by a light jacket.
You're going to brush, but you just have wind.
You can go like this, and it's going to go off. That means it's not in grain.
You take a light brush and you just like...
Look at Mishnah Guru to see how light the brush has to be.
Can you see Mahmoud's muffin?
That's the person we discussed. Maybe Mahmoud is all nothing to do, but maybe there are two forms of Mahmoud. Maybe there's one form of Mahmoud that you can violate even without having nothing to do. I have to look at a rabbi on the belt. Yes, so far we got another two malachas. The Rebbe gave us another two malachas. Now go to the Zahm Rabbi. Yes.
That's
well, if you put it in before Shabbos and it soaks all through Shabbos,
yeah.
So would that be the Shabbos?
That's like benching lid. That's like the mother benching
lid. Yeah.
What have you done before? Is that
okay? And also,
the only thing is, you've got to have the machine running on Shabbos.
No.
Just sitting there, that's okay. You have the machine running, making noise. You have a machine running on Shabbos, making noise, and the Gemara says in the first parak that it's not mutar. If I set up a... Right, so mitzvah the malacha, it's mutar, but if the thing is making noise, and the Gemara says in the first parak, it's option milsar. Makes noise, and all the neighbors hear that the malacha is taking place on Shabbos based on the racket, the Gemara says in the first parak, that's not allowed. That's why Moshe Tan is about air conditioning. Turn on an air conditioner before Shabbos, and the air conditioner makes noise. It's not a Maristah. It's a Shiloh Bab Shanus. The Nus of the Shabbat. It's more in the first period. It's a different Nisan, not a Nisan Malacha, not a Nisan Maristah. Option Nus is we hear noise from a Malacha that's taking place on Shabbat. You know it's Behetta. But we hear a Malacha that's taking place. More in the serenity of the whole year. Shana, how loud the noise has to be. You have to learn. It's all Gemara. It's a tremendous nesichta here. It's a big, big nesichta. See, how annoying. It's not so big. It's 12 blocks Gemara, I think. 11 blocks Gemara. So that's, you can write one little book. It's hard. It's 11 blocks are very hard. So you can write one little book. So Shana is so big. It's a nesichta here. And even after knowing the whole nesichta, you still don't know everything. You don't have to know the Gemara, there is often another Gemara. Every Mesichta, there's something else that contributes to Shabbos. Shitin Kobetis in Ksubis, about that the Bris Milah on Shabbos is goes wrong. All over the place, there's something about Shabbos.
Well, doesn't the Shemir Shabbos say that you can put something about the disciples and have pneumonia or something like that to help you? It says, like, you want to put a isn't that a lot?
I don't know what it is. Okay, what does the Gemara say? I'm a rabbi b'chon, I'm a rabbi yezmer. That's a new chiddush. I tell you if it's temer shagabi adheimo, what's the normal thing? What do they usually do? Usually somebody takes some kind of a machine and you shear up the wool from the back of the sheep. So that's the malach of gozes. After shearing off the wool, then you menape. What does menape mean? You comb it out and you make it work. You machshir it for what? It's actually easier work. I don't know what it is. What is menape? Preparing it for? Preparing it for spinning. And the spinning itself is another malacha. Of what? Of tovel, no. The spin needs to make thread out of it. That's tovel. A tovel needs to make thread. Then if you take the thread, you make a garment, you make the crisscross, that's already the other malach. What is that? Ha'orei. When you set it up, then it's amazed. When you do the weaving itself, that's called ha'orei. Fine. So here, this fellow is a genius. Rabbi Yechon is talking about a genius. He does three things in one shot. Ha'toy the tzemesh ha'gab yebehem v'sham. One shot, they make it, they take the wool, and they have some kind of a tremendous machine that makes it into threads, straight off the animal's back. So Rabbi Yechonah says, it's chayv shalosh chatos. One, you shouldn't go with it, because ultimately the wool is, the thread is still attached. But then ultimately the guy's going to finish his job, so he's going to make his whole wool of thread. When he stops, he's going to rip off the thread, and now it's completely detached from the animal. So he's detached the wool from the animal, it goes in. Ba'achas mishum minapeitz. The achas nishum tova. The tova, he made it into thread. So he did. He was tova tzemer. What is menapes? The hachana for the tzviyim. That's interesting. That the fellow jumps and he does directly. He does it in one step instead of doing it in two steps. First being menapes. And then being tova, he does the tzviyim directly. So he violates not only tova, he violates also menapes, which is the malach of hachana to tzviyim.
Maybe
he did it in two steps. I don't know how we
did it.
You
can do it in one step.
You can certainly do it in two steps. Charles, how did he do it? I don't know.
Why? Because
he's
trying to walk down.
Something like
that. That's in two steps then. Three, yeah. Three different steps. Yeah, what did you say? Like three steps is avada, yes. Three steps avada.
He sheared it off, but he didn't shear it all the way off to the Nima, who was still stuck on. And then he called this angry, and then he kept on shearing, and then he shamed.
Okay. Then it doesn't manage on three steps. Okay. Simple. Simple. I thought it was a fancy. So what's the chiddush if he does it in three steps? The Gemara says what the chiddush is. The Rabbi Yochanan is machadish. And even though 99% of the people in the world don't do it like that. And one should have argued that it's kalahayat. You say it's not kalahayat. If he can do it, that's not kalahayat. To do the tzvi and the niput while it's still attached to the animal's back, is not kalahayat. And that chiddush is exactly what the Gemara disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Afkana Omar, Afkana disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. He says you're not chayv at all for any melacha derayis. Ain't there disease b'kach, ain't there menabit b'kach, ain't there tzedi b'kach. It's only the rabbanu because it's kalah hayad. Melach kalah hayad is not derayis because it lacks melach mashev. Frag the Gemara is a boy. What do you mean it lacks melach mashev? It's the hatanya mishmeid rab nechemya. We have a pasuk that says that the women chalisha chachmas leib yadeh tavu eto izim. The pasuk says that when they were preparing the things for the Mishkan in Chumash, Beis Moshe Rabbeinu, when they made the Mishkan in the Midbar, so the women tavu eso izim, they spun it into thread on top of the backs of the animal. So the Brisa says the Tanya Mishmeid Rab Nechemi shot of boizim and tavu boizim, that they did the niputs on top of the animal's back, on top of the goat, and they did the spinning into thread also while it was still attached to the animal. Alma tfil al gabi behem l'shmo tfil, says in the Chumash tavu eso izim, so you see that it has a shame tfil. So if it has a shame tfiyah, how do you tell me that on Shabbos is not chai mishim tova? It is called tfiyah. And for the Gemara, chachmi yisei rishayim. What does that mean? Machlech is Rashi and Taisa. Taisa says chachmi yisei rishayim, but 99.99% of people in the world can't do it like that. They did it, they were super geniuses, they were double jointed, whatever they were. The women in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to do this stunt, to do it while it was still attached to the animal, but most of the people in the world can't do it like that. And we determine what's called kedak, what's called kalahayad by Roy Ben Yoram. So even the expert, the ha'osim osam, Taisha says, the Taisha chacham nisera. The ha'osim osam, and even the experts who do it like this, and as far as they're concerned, they do know how to do it. They do a good job of it like that. Even as far as they're concerned, it's also called kalahayad. I bet they always do it like that. Because both lodai they make for kolodim tiniyamina bahamatsiyah tzayim. Hey, it's gotta be anshin mutzah. That's the whole studio there. When do you say bottle daito to call the other? When do you not say bottle daito to that call the other? When normally people do it like this, and a lot of people do it the other way, because they're experts, and because in their country they do it like that, and because in their city they do it like that. If it's a city, it has cloven. Is it only a whole city that does it unusually? Or is it a whole country that does it that way, and a whole city that does it? Did they do it differently because of some reason? What they do is some arbitrarily people carry on their head. Why are they carrying on their head? Because it's going to sink in the ground, they don't carry on their head. Or because some kacha they carry on their head. Taisus has all kinds of klolim later on. Taisus and the Niri has a whole machlokes on tzaddik base. What are the klolim? When do you say something is gedarta? When do you say it's kalahaya? Taisus based on their klolim, maybe we'll learn it, we'll see. It's not complicated enough. So based on their klolim, Taisus says over here that even the expert who knows how to do it very well, while it's still attached to the animal's back, it's called kalahayad because you determine asiyah kedarka based on normal people. Rashi seems to disagree with this. Rashi says, chachma yisera kiyasib chalisha chachma sleiva, but the head you didn't die, could be kach lahadik lahayad. For a head you keep up. So Rashi sounds as if he disagrees with this. In the days of the Mishkan, the women who knew how to do it, they were experts, that takeh, that's called an asiyah kedarka, so if they would do it on Shabbos, would be a malach. But anybody else who's not such an expert in doing it, who does it while it's still attached to the animal's back, that would be kalahayat, and he would be potter. But the expert, you wouldn't say batla daita. It sounds like it's a detail machleg, is Rashi Taisus in the column of this sugya v'anshei hutzal. When do you say batla daita? And when not? But it's interesting how halacha l'maaseh, the din is that asiyas hatzitzis must be done l'shmo. That's how Taisus knows. Asiyas hatzitzis must be lishma. What do you mean asiyas hatzitzis? Let's say tying on the chuppah hatzitzis must be done lishma. That's why you have a lot of cotton tying on hatzitzis. A lot of shoes. And then when I was before Bali, they used to tie on the hatzitzis lishma. Nobody told it was no good. So then it's shabbat. You're not allowed to let a chemish hatzitzis cut in the tight seat. Because they're labar da. Labar da, you can't have kavah. Shai. We are not. We did it, but you shouldn't do it. Right. Can't make lishma. You have to have Asiyas HaTzis Lishmo. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Machlokes Taisis Meramam. So Taisis Meramam holds that it's okay. Oh, it's a common thing also. A little kid gets the parent by him an avakant. So he ties his own tzitzis. Then when he becomes bar mitzvah, he continues to wear the same avakant with the tzitzis that he made before his bar mitzvah. The shayla, the cotton that he has had tzitzis is not called a shmo. Kotman is a cotton to do, to make tzitzis for himself. We'll let him get away with that. You don't tell him that he has to have. Some would be machman. There is a day in person that would be machman that you have to have a goggle. Make the tzitzis for the cotton. Wouldn't allow the cotton to make tzitzis for himself either. So the chinah for the cotton is that he should do a kosher mitzvah, not to do a possible mitzvah. If the cotton makes the tzitzis, it's an asiyah of tzuris. But that would make a lot of it. That's a minigrain of lahakal on that. But the shayla is, would you allow a kid after bar mitzvah to continue to wear the avakam that he made before his bar mitzvah? So the pashka says that not. So the tzitzis has a shver tshuva where he's makel on that. They should double it. The tzitzis has a tshuva where he's makel and he has a whole shver tushta with that Rambam and Kotesa. Osher Tshuva, when he says that it's okay, that the mitzvah that the kid did the katnuso is good even there, God loosen. Now Chaim has in his sefer against that nitzir. Chaim has on the Rambam Hilchos Korban Pesach that the nitzir bases it on. A katnuso brought Pesach Rishon, that's not the three Pesach Shem. Chaim has a whole different shot in that Rambam. There's no right to anything whatsoever, 100% no right to anything. But usually we assume that if a katnuso ties tzitzis, it's no good because you have to have lishmo, you have to have asiyah lishmo. Machlokes and Gittin, you like to see where the cotton can write a get. The part of the get that needs Lishmo Midaraisa is that we're Machma, Tulu Shem is the Mori Machma, that the cotton cannot create Lishmo Midaraisa. The Tophis, we only need Lishmo Midarabbanon, so they will make over the cotton of the God of Nagabon is allowed to write that Lishmo. But to the Torah, no. A woman is a Machlokes the Rabbein Atam that can get Mosa, and hey, Machlokes Rabbein Atam and the other Rishonim. So Shulchan Aruch says you should be Machma, not to have a woman tied to it. The Shaila is the following. The Gemara says that Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel in Sukkot that Tesem and Aleph. Machlokes in Sukkot that Tesem and Aleph. What about Tviyah Lishmo? How far back do you need Asiyah Lishmo by the Chutei Atzitzis? You just need the Hatolas Atzitzis Lishmo, the tying on of the Ksharim. But you even need the preparing of the threat of the Gziza doesn't have to be Lishmo. I said you have a Goy, a Shikra Goy, shears off the wool from the animal's back. You don't require Lishmo that you have to shear off the wool to shame Atzitzis. Or let's say, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say the gziza is okay if it's done by a goy. Or let's say the menape, the nifut can also be done by a goy. What about the tzviya? What about the making the wool into thread? So that's not like it's Rabbi Shmuel. Let's look at that testament. Whether you need tzviya or shmo. Well, that's too far back. The only thing that you need lishmo is the asiyah. Asiyah meaning hatolas atzitzis is time to kshorim. The kshorim must be done lishmo. So the Gemara passes la halacha that you have to have tefillah lishmo. You need tefillah lishmo as well. So that's the shayla by women. That's the big shayla by women.
They have a lot of tzitzis.
They're different kinds of tzitzis. Some it's much cheaper to have women doing the work. So if you have women making the tzviyas tzitzis, women tying the tzitzis, that's the original machlokes of in the Talmud and the Balei HaTosfos. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should be machmir on that. You shouldn't allow women to tie the ksharim on the tzitzis. You should be dafka tied by a man. What about the tzviyas tachutin to make the thread, just to push the button on the machine, in order to make the wool into a thread? So that's machlokes acharonim within the Rabbein Tam. According to the Rabbein Tam, the women cannot tie the tzitzis, kshirasa tzitzis, what about tviyas achutim? So some achrenim say the Rabbein Tam would never go so far to be machmir, others say no, the Rabbein Tam is chumre. And gittin that from hey, that a woman cannot tie the tzitzis applies to any part of the asiyas tzitzis, and he's lishmo. So just like the kshira needs lishmo, and a woman is no good because she's ain't a terrorist, she can't make lishmo. So too, the tviyah, the making it into thread, all has to be done lishmo. That's machlokes is Rabbi Shmuel. We pass and has to be made lishmo. So according to Rabbi Natan, you shouldn't allow a woman to do the tzviyas HaTzitzis. That's what they have on different tzitzis, some of them that cost more money. If you just buy the Chutei HaTzitzis that says mitzvah anashim, that it was spun by men. It means to be yotzei that chumen achrenim that the Rabbi Natan would pass off as mitzvah anashim, if it's spun by women. Let's just shift the picture a little bit. Instead of concentrating on tzitzis, which is halal amayit, it's important to know that. It's important to know. Let's shift the, what about the Mishkan? Rashi says, "I'll punish v'yosuli mikdash." Rashi chanted the second Rashi says, "V'yosuli l'shmi," that the Mishkan needed asiyah l'shmo. That's in fact, the Gemara says that what's the name? Bezalel. Who are the two who made the Mishkan? Tzav and Aholiyah. I think the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Samachet that the Tzav was Bar Mitzvah. Gemara is a pasuk. But the Tzav was after Bar Mitzvah at the time that he did the Mishkan. He wasn't 13 yet. Right, he wasn't 13, but Pesach says on that Gemara that the Zeres Hashem needs to become Bar Mitzvah before the age of 13. Bizman HaZeh, the Gemara says he has to be 13. Bizman HaMishkan, he became Bar Mitzvah before. That's the Gemara on the Pesach, that's Samachet in Sanhedrin. That's Samachet, Samachet in Ram. So why does the Gemara hold that they have to, it's a pasuk that he was Bar Mitzvah, Ish. It says Ish, they were Bar Mitzvah. So why did the pasuk stress that they had to be Bar Mitzvah? Because the Rav explained why, because the Asiyas HaMishkan had to be done L'shma. And a katan cannot make the shmok. With machmer, a katan even God lanu agavah cannot make the shmok. Certainly, if you're not going to have God lanu agavah, the little kid is going to run the whole show. There is no God lanu agavah. So that's why the Torah stresses that Betzalel and Aholiyah, they were all bar mitzvah. All the people who were doing Asiyas HaMishkan were first bar mitzvah. In order that they should be having the din of Godel, that they should be able to make the Asiyah the shmok. If you need an Asiyah the shmok, as the Chumash says, Yosef li mikdosh, and Rashi says, li the shmi, should be the same machloek as Rabbi Shmuel, where they need a tefillah l'shma. If you need tzitzis needs a tefillah l'shma. Tzitzis needs a tefillah l'shma, meaning, Tzitzis says, the time that tzitzis into the beggar. As machloek as Rabbi Shmuel, whether the tefillah also is called an asiyah, or tefillah, that's too far back. That's not called an asiyah. Just like the gezizah is not an asiyah. Nobody holds you need gezizah l'shma. Nobody holds you need niput l'shma. But tefillah is a machloek as Rabbi Shmuel. And we pask him that you do need to feel the Shema by Tzitzis. So it's the same Achleik as Rabbi Shmuel, whether the Tviya on the Big Dekune and the Tviya on the Melechas HaMishkan for the Yerio from the evening, whether that needed the Shema or not. So the way we pass him that you need the Shema by the Tzitzis, by the Tviya also, not just by the Asiya, by the Tviya. The most probably the din should have been that you needed a feel the Shema by the Tviya of the Yizim.
Going on the man, so therefore